For a message this morning, message title is Learning from David's Responses to Life's Challenges. I'll give that again, a little bit of a long title. Learning from David's Responses to Life's Challenges. In the last few months, we've faced a lot of different circumstances, if you think. Think back through the last few months. Quite a few things are things that we never faced before. And it's been a challenge knowing how to respond to all that happened and the many changes that happened in our lives. You know, life, that's life. Life is full of situations that require a response. You know, in some situations, we have time to consider what our response will be. And there are other situations that require an instant response or reaction. You know, many of our responses will depend on our thought patterns and convictions that we have developed ahead of time. And the only way that you and I are going to have right responses is if our hearts are right with God. And this morning, we're going to look at David's life and how he responded to the circumstances that he faced. You know, David, he faced a lot of difficult things. He really did. You know, sometimes he chose right, and sometimes he failed. And we can learn a lot by looking at his life. We will not have time to read the whole stories, but all these are familiar stories. I know you're Bible reading people, so I want you to draw from them stories. We're going to just pick out a few verses at each thing we look at here. I was really challenged as I studied David's life. You know, I'm gonna give you short glimpses into David's life, and hopefully we can learn as we look at his decisions and his thought processes. I have 9 things down. We'll see how many we have time for. Number 1 is David's response to lowly duties. I don't have a real outline this morning. I just have 9 different little accounts that we're going to look at in David's life. David's response to lowly duties. Here is where David first proved himself to be faithful. Turn to 1 Samuel 16. We're going to spend some time in 1 Samuel this morning. This is the account where Samuel was sent to anoint one of Jesse's sons. He was eventually going to be the next king. Where was David when all this was happening? Let's read Samuel 16, 10 to 13. Like I said, we're only pulling verses out of these accounts, so I think we know most of these stories. 1 Samuel 16, verse 10. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. In other words, they had already passed by Samuel once. This was the second time. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So where was David when this was all happening? David was out there faithfully keeping his father's sheep. You know, out of all the family duties that needed to be done, keeping the sheep was probably the lowliest. And he was the youngest son. So that's probably how he ended up with the job. Maybe his brothers had probably graduated from that lowly job. Well, on a daily basis, David had to miss out on all the activities that happened around home because he was gone. Even though he was the youngest, and no one thought it necessary to call him home when Samuel came, God didn't forget about him. God knew about him out there. And I believe David had proved himself to be a faithful son and a faithful shepherd. And according to the little that we know about his life as a shepherd, I believe he was doing his best to take care of his father's sheep. Well, I like to make things practical, so just a question. Here's the question. What will your response be when God asks you to fill some lowly role? Will you do your best? You know, most of us are human enough to not want to fill those lowly roles. You know, we don't like those jobs that take us out back, where no one ever sees what all we're accomplishing, where no one is there to give us compliments. You know, our hard work can go unnoticed. You know, it may seem like no one even cares. Well, it may seem like it doesn't matter how good a job we do, but God always sees, and he notices how we serve him. So the challenge is to be faithful, to serve right where God has called us. Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." You know, humbly shouldering the work at hand prepares a person for larger responsibilities. Let's be faithful, just doing those lowly jobs that maybe God has called us to do. As I thought about David and his lowly job, you know, do you think God would have called David to be king if he had not been a faithful shepherd? I think we know the answer to that question. Number two is David's response to undeserved accusations. I'm going to read some verses from 1 Samuel 17. Well, these undeserved accusations came from David's oldest brother, Eliab. Well, just a little history. We don't have time to read the whole chapter here. The Philistines, we know the story, had come up against Israel. And they were having a standoff. And it wasn't just one day. It was for 40 days. Well, three of David's oldest brothers were down at the battlefront. David was back home, keeping his father's sheep. Well, as a concerned father, David's father was concerned about his sons that were out there at the battle. So he told David that he was to go, and he was got some food together, and he was supposed to take that to them, and he was supposed to see how they're faring. Well, while David was talking to his brother Eliab, and he was talking to the men around him, the men in the army there, out came Goliath to defy the armies of Israel. And of course, he went through his process, and he asked someone to come fight with him. Well, David was shocked at what Goliath was doing. He was defying the army of God, his people. And David was asking some questions. And let's read. I'm going to read verses chapter 17. I want to read Eliab's response to David. First Samuel 17, I'm just going to read 28 and 29. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You all heard the statement, hurting people hurt people. Well, I believe that's Eliab. You know, Eliab had left pride, jealousy. I don't know, you could probably put in a lot of things there, ruling his heart. And just think through this. Here he was, the oldest brother. And David was his youngest, was the youngest brother. And David had gone from a lowly shepherd boy to the one that was eventually going to be king. And David was chosen by God in front of all his brothers and anointed by Samuel. And he had already been called to come play his harp for King Saul when those evil spirits came upon him. He had just went home back to taking care of the sheep when they went to battle. And when he was there with Saul, he had handled himself well. And God was blessing him. And he was becoming popular. And here he was, talking to the men about this giant and about taking on the giant that was defying God and the army of Israel. And Eliab probably was thinking, who does he think he is? Here he is, his little brother. Well, here was Eliab's chance, and he took it, and he was going to lower David. And you see that in his response. And I believe Eliab wanted to discourage David from any thoughts that he was having of fighting Goliath. And he wanted to represent David to those that David was talking to as an idle, proud lad. And in his conversation, he also portrayed David as a careless, unfaithful shepherd. Did David deserve that? No, he didn't. He didn't. How did David respond? We're talking about David's responses this morning. Well, he didn't let it get him down. He went about his business. He kept moving ahead. He was just about ready to go fight Goliath. You know, he could have stood there and had a real argument with Eliab, but he didn't. So here's the question. How do you respond when someone falsely accuses you? You know, our carnal nature wants to not only defend ourselves, but also to give it back. You know, maybe it's time to even the scores or show them some of their own faults. Well, we all know that is not a godly response. Well, always remember, Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We do not need to answer criticism with an argument. We should quietly accept it for what it's worth and move on. And that's, you know, in life, that is easier said than done. And we really need God's help to respond right when we receive undeserved accusations. Number three, David's response to a terrifying giant. I'm going to read a few more verses from 1 Samuel 17. You know, out of all Israel's army, there was not one man that was willing to take on this giant, Goliath. And they all had their chance. We already talked about 40 days he came out and defied their army. You know, when you look at it, physically speaking, Goliath was a man of war. He was a giant. He was huge. He had armor. Physically speaking, there was no Israelite was a match for Goliath. So why did David respond differently than all the other men in the army of Israel? Well, the answer is in the verses that I want to read. I'm going to read verses 40 to 51. I would like to read the whole chapter, but I got to at least read the story. I know we know the story, but it's worth reading. Verse 40, 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. As we read, put yourself in David's shoes. Think about what he went through, what he was willing to do. Verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that God saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the earth, upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. You know the answer to that question that I ask. So why did David respond differently than all these other men? What was his success? The answer is found in verse 45. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You know, David's close walk with God helped him clearly see that the real battle was between God and the heathen Philistines. You know, the battle with Goliath was really going to be between God and Goliath, not David and Goliath. You know, Goliath had challenged Israel and their God, and the Lord was looking for a willing man to answer that challenge. You know, and David, he remembered God's marvelous deliverance from the lion and the bear. And he recognized that God helped him with those victories, and he had faith that God was going to help him with this one. Even though Goliath was probably more frightening than that lion and the bear. You know, David refused all the protective gear and the large sword that Saul wanted offered him, but he was well practiced with that sling and felt comfortable using it. You know, he realized that God was his best protection and weapon. You know, he had faith that God would give him the victory. So I thought about that. You know, it was neither Goliath's size, nor his massive weaponry, nor his God that he talked about, were able to protect him from that God-directed stone from David's sling. So here's the question. What will your response be when you face a terrorizing giant? what will my response be? You know, the truth is, you and I are going to face giants as we go through life. That's just a fact of life. We will face a lot of big things. Are we going to respond in faith like David did and let God help us slay those giants? Or are we going to let fear control and paralyze us? I believe how we will respond reflects a lot on our view of God and his ability to help us. Number four, David's response to an unworthy king. Turn back to 1 Samuel 24. I want to read a couple verses. David's response to an unworthy king. 1 Samuel 24, verses 3 to 6. Verse 3. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. And let's go back to chapter 26. I want to read verses 7 to 12. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon him. I know those are just a few verses out of those chapters. But we're talking about David's response to an unworthy king. You know, Saul was definitely an unworthy king. Think about David. You know, he had done nothing but good to Saul. But here he was, chasing him through the mountains, trying to take his life. Saul considered David his enemy because David's life spoke of God's presence to him. God was with him. David was a man of God, and it just showed in every area of his life. And Saul was envious of David's success and the influence that he was having on the people. And I believe that's why he thought he needed to kill David. He considered David to be a threat to him. He was afraid that he was going to take the kingdom from him. And as I read those two accounts that we just read, I was really challenged by David's conscience. You know, two times David had the chance to end Saul's life, but he didn't because he was the Lord's anointed. You know, David's men, they believed Saul's presence in the cave was a God-given opportunity to free him from his enemy. And it was a God-given opportunity, but one to be used to show mercy. And I was challenged with, you know, David even felt smitten after he cut off some of his robe. He had a conscience that was at work. So here's the question. How would you respond to a government leader that's trying to take your life? You know, we don't know anything about that. So I thought about that. You know, I have problems sorting through and respecting some of our government leaders for some of the things that they impose upon us. And these things are really small compared to leaders that are trying to take your life. You know, government leaders may be corrupt, but God calls us to show respect to them and obey them because of the office that they hold. God allows one exception when obeying the government means disobeying him. Acts 5:29 says, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So let's give our leaders the respect that God wants them to have. Number 5, David's response to mistreatment. Turn to 1 Samuel 25. Guess we are there. The next two responses come from the story of Nabal and Abigail. David's men had helped protect Nabal's shepherd. They had looked out for them. They hadn't taken anything from them. They were a big help to them. And it was a common practice at shearing time to share the blessings of increase with others. And David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So he told his young men to go and greet Nabal in David's name. David was widely known. And David rightly expected to receive some benefits for his services of protecting Nabal's shepherds and herds. Let's read Nabal's response. 1 Samuel 25, I'm going to read verses 9 to 12. Verse 9, "And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all that to those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants, and said, 'Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?' So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings." Well, if we keep reading, we all know the story. David's first response was not good. You know, he told his men to get their swords, and they were going to go destroy all the men of Nabal. You know, although Nabal's actions were disgraceful, they did not make him worthy of death. And certainly the rest of the family and his servants were innocent and shouldn't have been killed. As I thought about David's reaction shows how easily hurt feelings can override rational thinking. That's what happened. So I thought about some of the other stories that we just got done reading. You know, David had refrained from anger and revenge when Saul had mistreated him, yet David's immediate reaction to Nabal was, I believe, hasty, unwise, and excessive. You know, perhaps Nabal's insulting response and treatment caught David off guard. And maybe the insults of a fellow man felt more humiliating than the persecution of a king. So here's the question. So how are you going to respond when someone treats you unkindly or unfairly. You know, it may even be a close friend or a family member that you've done so much for. And those things can be so painful. We need God's help to respond properly. We need to be careful not to respond in the heat of the moment. Sometimes it's good to wait till we have time to cool down and reason properly. Number 6, David's response to wise counsel, and this, which came from Abigail, part of the story here. We looked at Nabal, look at Abigail. Well, before David could carry out his plan to kill Nabal and all his men, Abigail intervened with some advice and counsel. You know, no man is able to face life's temptations and trials on his own. We need help. We really do. Thinking about David and his responses. And as David's examples shows, even someone with integrity and conviction is subject to the fallen nature and needs good counsel at times. And let's read Abigail's advice to David. 1 Samuel 25, verse 23. I'm going to read verses 23 to 31. Verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Unto me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid has brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life which with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemy, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid." You know, all I'm going to say is thank God for Abigail's counsel. You know, we could talk a lot about when and how to give counsel, but we're looking at David's response to counsel. Let's read David's response a couple verses down. Verse 32. This is David's response to Abigail. Verse 32. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisses against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house, See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Now that was a godly response coming from David. You know, had David kept going on his planned actions, I believe it would have haunted him for years, and it may even have hampered his effectiveness as king. Abigail's appeal to David's sense of right and wrong, as well as her reminder of how he would later view his actions, was effective. And David not only changed his mind, but also expressed gratitude to God and to her for her courageous action. So here's the question. So how do you accept counsel when it's given to you? That's a challenge. You know, we must be ready to receive counsel as David did, even in the heat of emotion, with an open mind that considers the situation rationally. And counsel can be so hard to accept, especially when we're not asking for it or at home, or when we don't think we need it. But counsel is an important part of the Christian life. It really is. We need it. You know, if I think I have the answers, I'm not going to be open to counsel. A quote I came across that I really liked says, God does speak to us through his word and through the Holy Spirit, but very often he speaks through a fellow human, even one we may consider inferior in wisdom, experience, and or authority. Happy the saint who recognizes God's messenger. I like that quote. You know, heeding good counsel is the best thanks for it that we can give. In other words, you can receive all the good counsel in the world, but if you don't heed to it, it's not going to do you any good. Number 7, David's response to a deserved rebuke. We all know the story of David and Bathsheba. David committed a very gross sin. You know, one sin led to another sin, and it was a downhill slide. Well, God sent the prophet Nathan to expose David's sin. 2 Samuel 12 gives us Nathan's dialogue with David. You don't have to turn to it. We don't have time to read that. In verse 13, we have David's response. And I'll just read. Part of the verse says, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. You know, I see God's great mercy when you look at that happening, that story. You know, the law made it very plain what they were to do with someone that committed a sin like David. You know, he needed to be stoned. But David was quick to admit his guilt and accepted responsibility for his actions. He didn't defend or excuse himself. And although God graciously forgave him, he had to accept the bitter consequences of sin. You know, David brought upon himself and upon his family a bitter reaping. He really did. And let's remember, the law of sowing and reaping is still in effect. You know, if we fail, we need to accept responsibility for our failure. You know, to excuse ourselves or shift the blame is not a sign of true repentance. And it will not let the power of God's pardon work in us. Let's remember, God's holiness cannot tolerate sin in any form. You know, any sin, no matter how great or small, will come under God's judgment. And Psalms 51 is a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm that David wrote after Nathan had confronted him. He asked for God's forgiveness, for his mercy. Talks about how it was to have something like that on his conscience. And he asked God to create in him a clean heart. Read it if you didn't read it lately. Psalm 51. It's written by David. Number 8, David's response to a denial of a dream. You know, David desired to build a temple. You know, he wanted to glorify God by giving him his rightful place. And I believe David's love and devotion moved him to desire God's dwelling place would be superior to his own. And David was willing to make personal sacrifices to make the temple a reality. But what happened? Then God said no. That's from 2 Samuel 7. We don't have time to look that up and read it. But David's response is found in verses 18 to 29. Well, I believe David's willingness to lay down his desire to build that temple for God and his willingness to instead help prepare for Solomon to build it proves that his desire for building a temple was right. You know, when he got that no, he could have said, okay, that's it. He's done. That's somebody else's problem. But no, he got a lot of the building supplies and just, he did a lot of work. You know, if he wanted to do it to bring glory to himself, I don't think he'd have willingly laid it down like he did. And he certainly wouldn't have been willing to help Solomon prepare to build it. He was willing to do what he could, no matter who got the credit for building the temple. I believe David had a proper perspective of the sovereignty of God in his life. So here's the question. How will you respond when God says no to a desire you have? And it may even be a good one, a good desire. It may be a desire to serve him on the mission field. Maybe you want to go, you're willing to go, but God says stay home. It may be a desire to teach school, but maybe no one asks you. Or a desire to get married, but nothing ever works out for you. You know, the list can go on and on. No matter what we want to do, we want God's blessing in our life. And if God says no, then we need to lay it down and do like David did. Accept it and do what we can. Number 9, it's time to close. David's response to his great God. Although I have this last, it is number 1 reason for the success of David's life. You know, as we looked at David's life, what all he faced, his responses, we can conclude with one thing. He had a relationship with God. Acts 13:22 says David was a man after God's own heart. There's just, if we had time, I have a lot of verses, some Psalms that David wrote that are just a picture. Psalms 103, you know that, you're very familiar with that. Exhortation to bless God and for his mercy and all that he's done for us. Just read that. David's Psalms just give us lots of examples of his worship and praise to God. Psalms 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Psalms 95:6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Psalms 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Psalms 139, love that chapter. You know, he ends with 23 and 24, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting."